Hey, GWA. So, we're gonna read a book. And I'm gonna play with myself while we read. While I read to you. I've already got my vibrator situated on my clit. Just feeling how wet I fucking am. Okay, we're gonna read. Okay, I'm starting in the middle of this chapter. So, anyways, you'll get it. Okay, this was why at 26, I was still single. Most guys didn't pass the first date test, much less the long-term test of holding my interest for more than a month. Sports, movies, I work out, look at my muscles, I'm so buff. Shut up, I do not care. Use the muscle in your skull, and then the one in your pants. Impress me with your vocabulary, and then your sexual attentiveness. See, that was the other thing. I didn't really need a guy to be able to go for hours and hours. That got boring really fucking fast. That's a pun. No, for real though, I'd rather come fast and come hard than be fucked for hours on end. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved sex. It was great, but hours of it? Probably not. Figure out what makes me moan and do that until I come. I guarantee if you did that, you'd come too. That was just how it worked. Me and probably most other women, I'd wager. Except most guys didn't seem to get that. They seemed to think harder, faster, and longer meant better, when in reality, that was very often not the case. But this mystery man? Holy shit. He could turn me on with mere words. A whisper in my ear. A touch to my cheek. A kiss to my jaw. He had me squirming and wet and aching at dinner. And he only kissed me. Fairly chaste kisses at that. No tongue, no heavy petting. My clothes stayed on and in place. Shit, he turned me on more with a few kisses to my hand and arm than any other guy had managed in an entire night of full-on sex. It wasn't hard to make me hot and horny, nor was it hard to make me come. I was average, I'd think. I didn't have a hair trigger, and I rarely came more than once, but if you paid attention to my signals, you could get me off pretty easily. What happened at dinner? Unreal, just totally unreal. I got out of bed, dressed in a t-shirt and underwear, and paced the living room, my thoughts racing. I ached deep down between my legs. He'd made me hot, and he left me hanging. I didn't like that. I wasn't in some kind of a sexual frenzy, just mildly frustrated, just curious, wondering, needing more. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I left my room and wandered towards the kitchen. I didn't bother dressing, since only Eliza would be around to see me, assuming she was still awake. Mystery man? God, I really needed to find out his name. He had said he'd be in his private quarters. Really? Private quarters? Who says that anymore? The dirty-minded teenager in me wanted to make a joke about it. When faced with situations that I had a hard time dealing with, my go-to reaction was humor, usually bawdy and inappropriate. After a few wrong turns, I found the industrial kitchen, gaping and echoing and dark. An 8-burner Wolf gas range with an expensive gleaming hood vent, double Wolf ovens, and unlit stone pizza with a long-handled paddle leaning against the wall, a wide island with a white cutting board running in front of a bank of closed silver-topped refrigerated containers. This was a restaurant kitchen, done in luxury grade. There was a walk-in refrigerator, a walk-in freezer, and a 6-foot-tall wine cooler stacked with bottle after bottle of what I assumed was thousands of dollars in chilled wine. There was another freestanding refrigerator dedicated to nothing but beer. Stella Artois, Newcastle, Smithwick's, Guinness, Harp, Yingling, Duvel, Chimay. Every kind of beer you could imagine except cheap domestic. No Bud Light or Coors here. I probably shouldn't tell him I rarely drank anything but Bud Light. That was due to more budgetary restrictions than taste preference, but still. I chose a Harp, rummaged through half a dozen drawers until I found a bottle opener. I wandered, beer in hand, until I found the breakfast nook. I stood with my nose near the glass, staring out at the still bustling city. I smelled him before I heard him. Honestly, I don't think I ever really did hear him approach. I smelled his cologne, felt him behind me. "Don't turn around," he murmured. "I won't." The room behind us was dark, so there was no reflection of him in the window. Whew. An admission burbled up and out. I had to know what he would do. This was my test for him. "I peeked earlier. You were going around the corner. You're really tall and you have blonde hair." There was a long, significant hesitation before he responded. "Why did you tell me? I would have never known." I shrugged, swallowed a mouthful of beer. "I don't know. A lie, but I couldn't very well tell him my real reason for spilling the truth." I heard liquid glug in a bottleneck and deduced he was drinking a beer as well. "You shouldn't have peeked, Kiri." "I know, I'm sorry." Strangely, it was a genuine apology. Why did it matter? I couldn't answer that question except to say that it did. There was no point in denying his effect on me. No point in denying that I wanted his approval, his trust. What was it about him that created this reaction in me? He was standing far enough behind me that we weren't touching, but close enough that I felt the heat coming from him. I should have felt self-conscious about my attire. Whew. I should have felt self-conscious about my attire, or lack thereof, but I wasn't. Not with him. And again, why wasn't I? I wasn't a prude, nor was I shy. I could rock a bikini without feeling self-conscious, but I wasn't a show-off either. I didn't flash more skin than I felt comfortable with. The t-shirt I was wearing just barely cleared the bottom of my ass, leaving almost my entire lower half on display for him. And this didn't bother me in the slightest. I felt at ease despite being half naked around a man I'd known for less than the time it had taken for me to fly here from Detroit. "I told you not to fail that test." "Yes, you did. And yet you still peaked. I'm a curious girl, what can I say?" "You're a bad girl." His voice was low, dark, thick with promise. "Yeah?" I heard the teasing rasp in my voice and wondered who it was. Not me, surely. "What are you going to do about it?" I swallowed hard, waiting for his response. I felt his fingers pinch the cotton of my shirt, lifting it. He let it rest on the swell of my ass. The underwear I wore was somewhere between lingerie and basic briefs. It was the kind of lacy panty that was molded to my ass, cutting in tight between my ass cheeks. Light pink in color, comfy, sexy. Now I felt revealed, exposed. I wasn't breathing. I didn't dare. I'd been bad, disobedient. Even thinking in those terms made me squirm with discomfort. I wasn't a child who worried about disobeying. But yet the feeling persisted. Fear mixed with excitement. Something warm and rough cupped my ass. I swayed, nearly dropping my beer. I tried to breathe. I was getting dizzy from having my breath, from having held my breath for so long. His hand caressed first one side and then the other. He sucked in a short, sharp breath. Bloody hell, Kiri. So damn perfect. His words weren't really meant for me, it seemed, stumbling out of his mouth in a barely audible mumble. I was about to demur to remind him I wasn't perfect when he spoke again, louder to me this time. No more peeking, yes? Once again, I opened my mouth to speak when I was cut off, this time by a quick yet stinging smack to my right ass cheek. It wasn't hard, it didn't hurt, it just surprised me. I gasped with the unexpected contact. And then the gasp morphed into something else when his palm smoothed and gentled my stinging flesh. No more peeking, yes? His tone was prompt, demanding an answer. I was too surprised and mixed up to form words. I nodded, hoping that would do. Apparently not. The light, sharp slap came to the left side of my butt this time, once again followed immediately by a soothing circle of his warm hand. No more peeking, yes? Yes, yes. The answer flew from my lips, breathless. And then I sucked in a long breath, finally able to breathe. That wasn't so bad now, was it? His hand rested on the bell of my hip, casual, possessive, familiar, as if it belonged there. Oh, I thought you said you weren't into that. Did I hurt you? No, I admitted. It was a reminder. I expect answers when I ask questions. I would never ever cause you pain. A bit of a sting, that's all. His breath stole over my neck, and his voice rumbled in my ear. God, I wanted so badly to turn around. And you liked it, didn't you? I knew I had to answer. Yes. My answer was barely a breath. It didn't count as speech. It was a susurrus of mortification. If you truly don't like something, if it causes you prolonged discomfort or pain, tell me. I should, under all circumstances, be able to read your responses to what I do. But if for some reason I miss something, just tell me. But please, for both our sakes, examine yourself before you ask me to stop. Find out if you really, truly want me to stop, or if you're merely afraid of liking something new. I took a long pull off my beer, and then, in an instinctual gesture that surprised me as much as him, I think, I leaned my head back until it met his chest. I kept my eyes closed per our agreement. Fuck. This is all so much, I heard myself admit. So different, so strange, so scary. I don't know what's happening to me. You do something to me. Just by, I don't even know, without even trying. Like you know all my switches and buttons, but you couldn't. You couldn't possibly know what makes me tick this well. No amount of stalking, watching me from a distance, could tell you what turns me on. Oh, God. Fuck. Yes, you're right. His voice coming from so close, from his chest, from above my head. It was a loud purring energy and vibration. I told you, Kiri, I can read you like a book. You're scared, but you want this. You hate the fact that I affect you so much, but you like it in equal measure. The fear makes it that much more exciting. Glass touched wood, and then he took my bottle and set it down as well on the table behind us. His hands slid down my arms. His body towered behind me. His breath blew on my neck. Eyes closed, Kiri. They are, I told him. Good. A brief pause. Do you trust me? I'm trying. I'm getting there. For all that I'm in control here, this still moves at your speed. I will push your boundaries, push you beyond what you think you're comfortable with, but not so fast that your fears take over. Fingers tangling in mine, big and hard and hot, entwining with my own. Small trembling hands. Oh, God. Small and trembling and cool. Tell me what you want right now. One thing that you want to feel. There was no hesitation. Another kiss. Good girl. I hated that phrase, the way it was said, praising my response. I'm not a fucking dog, so don't good girl me. He chuckled. Touchy, touchy. I'm not touchy. I just resent being spoken to as if I'm a poodle that finally managed to sit on command. I'd have thought with this little exchange that the mood for kissing would be gone, but oh no. Oh no, no. My eyes still closed. Ugh. Fuck. My eyes still closed. I felt his breath curl over my cheek, sandpaper skin sliding softly against my jaw, warm lips brushing mine, and just that fast, my complaint was forgotten. I twisted in place, my feet remaining planted, my torso turning and leaning back. It was an offering, yet another way for me to show him that I was giving into this. You know how I said I didn't sleep around on the first date? Well, I rarely even kissed on the first date either. I wasn't a prude, I'd said this before. I just didn't believe in diving headfirst into a physical relationship if there wasn't some kind of emotional or personal connection in the place. I didn't expect forever love from a guy I was dating. I didn't expect sweep me off my feet romance. Although it was always nice, but I did expect him to put some kind of effort into getting to know me before he tried to get into my pants. Ugh. So why the hell was I letting this man kiss me? Ugh. Why was I asking him to kiss me? He'd admitting to having watched me for a long time. He knew things about me no one should know. That was still in the back of my head, that question. Why did he watch over me? Could it really be called stalking if he never made contact? To me, a stalker was someone who watched your every move, sent you creepy letters and made heavy breathing phone calls, who stood outside your bedroom window and watched you change. Ugh. Whacking off all the while. A stalker was someone with an obsession, an unhealthy, safe infatuation. Naive as it might be, but I didn't believe that of my mystery man. Definitely naive. I mean, look at where I was. I'd been collected. Collected. That still irked me. You can't ever shut off your brain, can you? I felt his words on my lips, shaking me from my thoughts. No, not really, I said. What were you thinking about? He asked. It must have been rather fascinating if it was able to distract you from kissing me. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh, I have to stop reading. I'm so fucking close. I'm too distracted. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm coming. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Holy fuck. Oh. Was fun. Oh, geez. I hope you enjoyed listening to me read. All right. Bye.